You are listening to the Gateway Church located in Ferriesburg, Michigan. You can learn more about us by visiting thegateway.church or like and follow us on Facebook, where you can watch full services, keep up with all that is going on, and get connected.
As I was coming back into full-time and wanting to launch a series, I told Bobby before I left, I said, I want to talk about Jesus when I get back. And man, even that song that we just sang, I Speak Jesus, so powerful. But I wanted to answer the question, who is Jesus? And I have this deep passion in my heart and this understanding that answering questions about Jesus' identity is one of the most important things that we could ever do. And I really sense that even today, that this message can speak right to your heart and change your life. And before we start spouting off who we think Jesus is in our own thoughts or our own ideas, shouldn't we look to what God's Word says as the authority? And maybe even within God's Word, what did Jesus say about himself? He alluded to the fact that he was the fulfillment of many Old Testament prophecies about the Messiah. He called himself the Son of Man. He spoke and acted as God incarnate, being like, hey, I am God in the flesh. He actually said to the Samaritan woman at the well, I am the Messiah. And then I stumbled over the summer across an idea that I really, if I had seen it before, it was not on my radar, that within the book of John, there are seven I am statements where Jesus says, I am, and then he puts a metaphor, and he reveals different aspects about himself through these I am statements. Jesus wanted and still wants us to know him. And he went to great lengths to make it happen. And so within the book of John, he says, I am the bread of life. I'm the light of the world. I'm the door. I'm the good shepherd. I'm the resurrection and the life. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And he says, I am the true vine. It's this I am. Kapow, ka-chow. I love this idea. And Pastor Bobby put this together. And it was interesting that this I am statement in these statements caused all kinds of controversy and debate in the first century church. And what's interesting is even today, there's controversy at times about who Jesus is. And Jesus even paused in his own ministry and said to his disciples, who do you say I am? And they answered, and I want to lean in and ask you the same question, who do you say Jesus is? And our goal throughout this series is that we would say that the I am, that's who we're talking about, Jesus, changes who I am. Let's say that together. I am changes who I am. So last week we launched a series and talked about I am the bread of life. Jesus said that, and it was a tie to the Old Testament and the Exodus story, and Jesus takes this physical bread and he turns it into something spiritual. There were two main takeaways. The first one is going to carry throughout the entire series, that Jesus is God. It was absolutely a declaring, saying I am the Messiah, I am the Son of God, I'm the Savior of the world. The second thing was that Jesus is everything we need. So the idols that that grip us, our distractions in the world, all the things, we can put all those things aside because Jesus is enough. He brings life. And we saw that last week with the I am statement, I am the bread of life. Well, today we're going to turn to John chapter 8, verse 12. Let's just look at it together. It says, Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, I am the light of the world. I'm the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. The goal today is to break that verse down piece by piece and focusing on the result that we would say, I am changes who I am. And so let's get right at it. When you think about light and you think about light of the world, that idea started on the very first page of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1. It was the first time in Scripture God was creating everything, and he said, "Let there be light." I want you to hold on to that thought. The light of the world. Then throughout Scripture, you can do a study on this. I would encourage you to do it if you're interested. That we see God depicted as light over and over and over. So we have light. And on the other side, we have Satan, who is the prince of, say it with me, darkness, right? So we have God as light, Satan as darkness. One place we can look to see how the contrast works is Acts chapter 26, verses 17 and 18. The Apostle Paul, he's sharing his testimony. He's remembering the encounter that he had with Jesus on the road to Damascus. He said this, "I will rescue you," Jesus talking, "from both your own people," that's the Jews, "and the Gentiles." He's speaking to Paul. He says, "Yes, I'm sending you to the Gentiles to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light." He calls them both out. He's saying from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. God is light, right? Satan, prince of darkness. He says, "Then you will receive forgiveness of your sins and be given a place among God's people." In John chapter 1, we read this last week. This is describing Jesus before it says that it's Jesus. But he says the Word, that's Jesus, gave life to everything that was created. And his life brought the light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. We see that from the beginning of time. But from the fall of mankind, Adam and Eve, there's been this fight between darkness and light, between Satan and God. A little further, it says in John 1, verse 6, God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. And the one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. Of course, that's talking about Jesus. A couple verses later, John 1, verse 14, says the Word became flesh, or the light became flesh. Jesus became a man. We see that. And it's interesting, when you start to study the light of the world and the idea of these things, and you see there's a pattern in that they are using this Old Testament references. In John chapter 6, John chapter 7, John chapter 8, we see Jesus says, "I'm the bread of heaven, bread from heaven. I'm the water from life." And then here he says, "I'm the light." All going back to the Old Testament. And you say, okay, with light, where did we see light in the Old Testament? In creation, of course, but also we saw it in the Exodus story. When the children of Israel were wandering in the desert, they followed a cloud by day and a fire by night, a pillar of fire by night. Jesus was declaring who he was for anyone who would listen, and he's saying, "Look, I'm the pillar. I'm the one you should be following." He also said, "I'm the light," after 400 years, a period of darkness in the church. When John the Baptist came and said, "Hey, I'm not the light, but the light is coming," the wait was now over. The darkness was over, because between the Old Testament and the New Testament, there was a period of silence where God was silent, and it was a period of darkness. But now, it's like Jesus is here, the Shekinah glory, so to speak. God is now among his people. He's fulfilling prophecy. Prophecies like Isaiah 42, 6, where it says at the end of the verse, it says, "You will be a light to guide the nations." That's referring to the Messiah. Isaiah 49, verse 6, another one in the middle, it says, "I will make you a light to the Gentiles." Okay. And you might think, okay, when Jesus said, "I am the light of the world," do you think he was really thinking about all those things? I mean, that you know, from creation to the Exodus story and these prophetic words, and there's been a series of darkness. And I would just say, yes, I think he was. Because he says, I am the light of the world, John chapter 8, verse 12. And in John 8, verse 20, just a few verses later, we see where Jesus said that. And in the context, there was an eight-day festival. And this is at the eighth day of the festival. And it says this, that Jesus made that statement, I am the light of the world, while he was teaching in the section of the temple known as the treasury. Doesn't that just bless your heart? It's like, okay, what does that even mean? Well, there was a part of the temple, apparently, where there was 13 chests. Each of those chests had significance. But even more importantly, it was in that portion of the temple that there were these huge candles or candelabras. It's so huge that they would pour 65 liters of oil in each of them. So then they would light it. It would light up not only the temple, but they would go through the roof and light the city at night. And all that was happening. And Jesus, on the eighth day of this festival, he's standing in the place. It's possible that the candles were dimming because the oil was running out. And he says, I am. He says, I am the light of the world. Kapow, ka-chow. And so we see God is light. Jesus is light. In fact, not only is light, he is the light, not just a light. And if you put those together, Jesus is God. Jesus was declaring in this statement his divinity. And then he goes on to say, I am the light of the world. And I want to break down this verse. He says this. He says, if you follow me. Let's talk about that for a second. If you follow me. Jesus, it's like a soldier following the orders from a captain. So there's like this piece of obedience. If you follow me. He, or a slave with a master, or even the sense like if you follow wise counsel in following wisdom, of course, Jesus is the epitome of wisdom. If you do that, then you will not have to walk in darkness. So follow me and you will be in the light. 1 John chapter 1 verse 5 says this, this is the message we heard from Jesus and now declare to you, God is light, Jesus is light, and there is no darkness in him at all. Psalm 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. He's the light of the world. And if we follow him, darkness will disappear. Now, let me just ask, how many of you are afraid of the dark? Anybody willing to admit that you've got some fear around darkness? All right, thank you. Yes, yeah, we got a few of you. I'm suspecting that there may be a few others among us, but that's okay. I was not afraid of the dark growing up. That's because I had a Detroit Tigers nightlight in my room. And I remember that. And Monsters, Inc. had not been released, and so I was not afraid of closet doors. And I know that, kids these days, it's different. But why is a nightlight effective? What does it do, right? Why do we use them? It overcomes the darkness, right? Have you ever been in a situation where it's pitch black, you can't even see your hand in front of your face? How many of you have been in a room locked in? Maybe your parents locked you up, and I don't know. I'm not sure. But listen, your eyes can't even adjust. It's so dark, right? Listen, one match, one little flame changes everything, doesn't it? It reveals where you are and where you need to go to get out of that scary darkness, right? Well, the same is true with Jesus. He's the light. He reveals where we are. He shines into our life with a lot of grace. We're going to see that in a second. And where we need to go. Darkness. And just like with the bread of life, Jesus used something physical and made it spiritual? Jesus, I can just imagine him standing in the temple with these big candles, maybe they're dimming out, and he's saying, hey, I'm the light of the world. He takes a physical thing, actual light, but he's really talking about spiritual things. We had a group of guys go to Alaska this summer on a missions trip. Some of you guys are here. Wait, where'd Paul go? He slipped out. Okay. I was going to call on him. But anyway, in Alaska, in the winter, they get like 22 hours of darkness. I can't even imagine that. Why would anyone want to live there in the winter? But I guess it's beautiful in the summer. You get 22 hours of light. That'd be awesome. But one of the things that they realized, the group that were there, and they, as they were talking with the missionaries there, is that in the wintertime, there is severe depression that comes and just kind of trickles through society, and it's because of the darkness that's around. And we even get that here in West Michigan a little bit, that gray days, it's a lot. And I was saying first service that my wife in the morning, she does in the wintertime, she will put out a glow light that is a light while she does her devotions in the morning. And I will walk out of the bedroom and she is glowing. And she glows naturally, but even more so with this glow light. It's just to get some some natural light, or some, I guess, not so natural light. Get some vitamin D, right? But it's important. But there's this idea that depression and other things, darkness from a spiritual standpoint. What Jesus is talking about is the evil in the world, things that harm us, things that threat our well-being. Wickedness, and it's subtle, it's sneaky, and I don't know if you've ever dealt with addiction, but I'll tell you, it's hard, because it's the first touch, that, or the first look, or the first smell, or the first hit that seems so innocent. It's just in the shadows just a little bit, right? Can you remember your first touch with darkness? Maybe the first time you tried drugs, or the first time you were exposed to pornography, or the first time you took a drink and drank too much, or the first time you stole something, or the first time you lied. It's not like the devil is there with a pitchfork and it's all this darkness. No, it's just a little bit in the shadows. That's the way Satan works. He is the prince of darkness, and at first, he will come in subtle ways. But then he's called the accuser, and he comes in and he's like, oh, you did this or that? God could never love you. He could never forgive you. The Satan will say, oh, you will never have a good marriage, or your kids will never respect you, or it's too late for you for whatever the case, whatever you might have done. And there, all of a sudden, there's darkness all around. First service, we have a group of ladies that join us most of the time from Teen Challenge, and they understand what that addiction, that darkness, and it's deep and it's dark. But what does Jesus say to that? Jesus says, I am the light. I am the light. And if that's true, why would we ever flirt with the darkness? It's a good question. Well, in John chapter 3, we get an answer to that. Why would you ever choose darkness? It says in John chapter 3, it says that in judgment is based upon this fact, God's light came into the world, but people loved darkness more than the light. Well, we just said the darkness is bad, right? Why would anyone choose that? Because God is light, right? It says, for their actions were evil. All who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it for fear their sin will be exposed. But those who do what is right come to the light so others can see that they are doing what God wants. Listen, it's our sin nature that gets us. And it's subtle, but I promise you this, it will always lead to death. To destruction. And what does Jesus say? John 8:12 at the end, I'm the light of the world. He says that light will lead to life. So it's the opposite. Satan and sin is going to lead to death. Jesus, the light, is going to lead to life. Jesus is the Savior. He is the light. And light always, without question, overtakes darkness. Darkness never, not once, will defeat light. And if your world that you're living in today, your situation is a little dark or a lot dark, you need the light to shine in to your situation to bring hope. I want to read it again. John chapter 8, verse 12 says, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. And what I want to do is I want to make this a little personal. A little later in John chapter 12, Jesus is still talking about the fact that he's the light. He says, my light will shine for you. Everyone, just point at yourself. This is for you. This is for each of us. Just a little longer. Walk in the light while you can, while we can, so that the darkness will not overtake you. Those who walk in the darkness cannot see where they are going. So put your trust in the light while there is still time. Then you, this is for each and every one of us here, then you will become children of the light. We become children of God. We become children where the light shines in. I want to hold that thought, child, being a child of the light, for a second. Because I noticed something as I was studying, that this story where Jesus says, I am the light of the world in the temple treasury, it happens right after a very interesting story, the woman caught in adultery. John chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. I'm not going to read all of it, but in verse 3 it says this, as he was speaking, so Jesus is speaking in the temple, he says, the teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery. They put her in front of the crowd. Teacher, they said, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses says to stone her. What do you say? And if you know the story, they're trying to trick Jesus, trying to get him. But they call out the law, and they're saying, according to the law, this woman is guilty. They drag her out, half naked, I can imagine, just embarrassed beyond belief. She's guilty, according to the law. And we don't talk a lot about guilt here in our society these days. But the truth is, we are all guilty. There's not one person here that is good or righteous in the eyes of God. Let's just do a little examination. I want you to be as honest as you possibly can. How many of you, by a show of hands, have ever lied? All right, okay. All right, keep your hand up for a second. Keep your hand up. All right, good. If there's someone that's near you that doesn't have their hand up, just lean up and tell them, you're lying. All right, good. All right. Okay, I'm going to go a little deeper. How many have ever cheated before? I'm raising my hand. I've cheated. Mr. Anderley, high school, or it wasn't high, yeah, high school science class. It was just too easy. I cheated the first time I played games with Jerry and Jerry, my in-laws. It was just too easy. All right. Another one. How many have ever stole anything? All right. Yeah, me too. I'm not telling that story. That means you're a thief. How many of us have used God's name in vain? Yeah, I have. I said, I'm not even going to say it, but I used God's name in vain in front of my parents once. That means like saying, basically, I'll just tell you what I said. I said, I swear to God. I was telling a story. I was saying, I swear to God. And it was like the atmosphere changed in the room. My parents took a bar of soap. They put it in my mouth to wash my mouth out with soap. Some of you older folks, now they would go into prison for that probably. But I was such a smart aleck. I bit the bar of soap. Soap stuck in my teeth. I ended up puking, and it was just a bad. But I'm not sure I've ever used God's name in vain since then. But anyway, if that's the case, you're a blasphemer according to Scripture. How many adulterers in the room? You looked upon someone lustfully. Thank you. Yeah, me too. We're sinners. We're just like the woman who was caught in adultery. Every single one of us. And according to the law, we are guilty. But that story is not about guilt, because Jesus is there, and this story is really about love and about his grace, unmerited favor, something we totally don't deserve. There's no one here that deserves what Jesus gives us. It's amazing. How many have ever been the recipient of grace? Come on, let me see. Someone has given you the benefit of the doubt, or you were guilty, but they didn't charge you, or they didn't want to. I was a couple years ago, this is a few years ago, I got in trouble with the DNR, and it's not a pretty story. Someone came up and asked me, what happened? I'm not telling you what happened, but I got 3 tickets from the DNR in one little episode. Expensive tickets. I called my lawyer friend and I said, hey, I need some help. And he did help me. And they got me in a diversion program. And what a diversion program, I had never heard of it. It's for first-time offenders. So if you're caught stealing something and you're a teenager, they'll put you in a diversion program. And I'm like, hey, I will take it, because then the tickets won't be on my record and I didn't have to pay the big fines. I had to pay $100 to be in the diversion program. And I go to the class and they're like, bad. And not so bad. But what was just the redemption and just God's grace was so good. While they're talking, I had to do 40 hours of community service for this little indiscretion that I had. And while they're talking about different things, they're like, you can volunteer with the city, or you can do this, or you can mow grass, or you can volunteer at your church. And you know what I was thinking. I said, excuse me, did you say we could work at our church for 40 hours and be clear? The next week, I worked 40 hours, had someone sign off, and I was free and clear. Diversion. I experienced grace. Don't judge me. Don't judge me. You would have done the same thing. But listen, grace drives condemnation away when it's exposed by the light. But Jesus doesn't just let this woman off. What does he say? He says, go and sin no more. He's saying, stop it. He doesn't say, oh, it's okay. Try harder not to sin. Try harder not to sin. Yeah, I said that right. And just think about the sins in our lives. Even the things that, we don't think are sins so much. Like, oh, try not to overeat so much. Or try not to look at pornography so much. Or try not to gossip so much. No. Jesus said, go and sin no more. And I read it with some urgency. Grace sets you free, and you turn the light on, and the darkness, the things that gripped you, they're gone. They flee. Jesus is the light of the world. We need to say, Jesus is the light of my world. We are called to walk in the light, not on the edge of darkness and just, see how close we can get away with sin. Luke chapter 9:23, Jesus said, if anyone wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. Why is that important? It's because we were dead in our sins. Ephesians 2:1 says, you were once dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. That describes our lives. Not mostly dead, not just comatose, you were dead. Colossians 2:13, you were dead because of your sins, and because of your sinful nature was not yet cut away, but then God made you alive with Christ. He forgave all your sins. He shined a light. And those sins, whatever it is, we need to be walking away. We need to go and sin no more. I'm going to ask the worship team to join me. I got a question for you this morning. Is God exposing something in your life that is in the darkness? Maybe it's a deep darkness. Maybe it's just in the shadows. And my question to you, and I would ask myself as well, are you willing to receive his exposure? Jesus is the light. Are you willing to allow the light of Jesus to shine in? The reason I ask that is because the sun, the S-U-N, sun, if you're outside, when you're around the sun, you see the effects, right? Yesterday, I was floating down a river with a group of guys, and I was like, I didn't have any sunscreen. Jessica, she would not approve. And but I was too late. I'm going down, and I thought it was going to be like an hour float. It was like 2 hours and 15 minutes. I'm like, I got to get out of the sun. I'm going to, this is not good. But you see the effects of the sun, S-U-N. But the same is true when the Son of God, S-O-N, shows or shines his light on you. What happens is we get exposed, but then there's great freedom. I didn't say this first service. I was writing this during after I was finished with my message first service. God just gave me a thought. How many times do we stay in our sinful behavior, whatever it might be, right? And it's not good. Like, it affects every part of our lives, doesn't it? When we're in sin or we're flirting with sin, it's not a healthy place to live. But then we get exposed, or we get busted, or we get found out, or maybe we just even just confess our sins. What happens? The light shines on it, and it's like, yeah, there might be consequences, but there's a freedom that comes from living in the light. Isn't that true? Am I the only one that's experienced that? There's a freedom that comes. Darkness and evil will grip you. There's strongholds that God, scripture talks about. And the solution is letting the light of Jesus shine into those dark places. And when he does, it changes things. I am the light of the world. I am changes who I am. When you let the light come in, it will make a difference. You might be like, will the light ever shine through my circumstances? Yes. John chapter 12, verse 46 says this, I have come as a light to shine in this dark world. You could put your name there, in Ben's dark world. So that all who put their trust in me will no longer remain in the dark. We do not have to flirt with the darkness or stay in the darkness, the bondage or the things that hold us back. We need to turn on the light. Let Jesus illuminate us. And when we do, we will say, I am. The I am changes who I am. Jesus wanted and he wants us to know him. He went to great lengths. And while he was here on earth, he shared this nugget of truth of who he was for us. Not just for head knowledge, but for a heart knowledge. And he wants to speak this morning to those that are in the darkness. And I'll just say, I've been there, and it's not fun. Come to the light. Let the light of the Holy Spirit shine it makes all the difference in the world. Would you bow your head and close your eyes for me or with me? Father, I pray that you would do a deep work inside of us. And my guess is there are some, many of us probably, that are in a dark place, and we need you to shine in. And God, I pray that you would just illuminate yourself to us and take away the darkness. Take away the addiction. Take away the stronghold. Lord, do what only you can do. In Jesus' name. If you're here this morning with your head bowed and eyes closed, you're saying, man, I need that light in my life. I need Jesus to save me. And maybe you have an understanding of what that means. Maybe you don't. Essentially, the Bible says we're all sinners. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. And we need Jesus, the Savior. He came to this earth. He died for us so we could live and have life forever with him in heaven. If you're here and you're saying, man, I need that light. I need that salvation. Would you just lift your hand right where you are? I just want to pray for you. I'm not going to call you out. Yes, thank you. Over here, anybody else? Thank you. Yes. 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 Man. Yes. We got 7 or 8 people with their hands raised. Yeah, thank you. Another one. Man. I was praying for you this morning. Those of you that just raised your hands, you don't have to remain in that dark place. I want to pray for you, but I'm going to pray for everyone because we're all susceptible. It's a slippery slope. Until eternity, we have a sin nature that will pull us back and pull us into darkness, and we have to fight it with the light of Jesus. We have to be aware of that. And so I want, if you are interested in saying, Pastor, I want that statement that the I am changes who I am. I want that to be true in my life. Would you just stand up with those that already raised their hands? If you already raised your hand, I want you to stand. But the rest of us, if you're saying, I am changes who I am, I want that to be real in my life in this season. I want you to stand right where you are. It should be most of us or all of us saying yes. And I want to pray for us. And then, Pastor Bobby, I'll let you close us out however you see fit. Lord, I pray, God, that your Spirit would just illuminate inside of our hearts. God, I pray that there would be no condemnation. We just silence Satan, the accuser, and we allow the light of Jesus to just shine in. And I pray that there would be freedom. I pray that there'd be a weight lifted for the 7 or 8 people that raised their hands saying that I need that light. God, I pray that they would find you in a significant way. I pray that they would live for you. And I pray for each of us, God, that we would choose day in and day out that when we're faced with the darkness, we would say, no, go and sin no more. I'm turning from my evil ways. And I'm going to stay in the light. God, bring us into your light. Our families, our homes, for our kids, for our workplaces, God, that our light would shine. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Scripture says, for those who are living in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who are living in the land where death casts its shadow, a light has dawned. That we serve a God who defeated death, hell, and the grave. That we were living in darkness, that we were lost in our trespasses, that maybe we had a veil before us and couldn't quite see, but the light has come. So let's just pray. Jesus, we thank you that you are the light. And that light brings life. Lord, and we pray that your light would come. In whatever places there are darkness, whether it's the sin in our lives, the temptations we face, whether it's the darkness that comes with depression and anxiety, or the darkness of just living in a world without you, we pray that your light would come, that it would bring life, that it would bring fullness, that it would radiate all the dark places. All the places where we can't see clearly, all the places where we aren't walking faithfully, Lord, that your light would reign supreme. Nor that we all were once living in a land where death cast its shadow. But we thank you that you've defeated death, hell, and the grave. Lord, and we thank you as well that you call us the light of the world, that you say that we need to shine our light, that people may see our good deeds and glorify you in heaven. So, Lord, let us leave this place shining your light in the dark places, exposing the darkness with your truth and your goodness and your grace. And, Lord, we thank you that you do meet us where we are, but you don't leave us there. Lord, let us walk in that same humility, in that same grace, Lord. And we thank you as we go, as your light, that you go before us, behind us, and all around us. It's in your name that we pray. And all God's people say, amen. Amen. Thank you so much for worshiping with us today. Go in God's grace. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from the Gateway Church. If you'd like to find out more about our church, such as service times, giving, and ways to get connected, visit us at thegateway.church.